The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
With Donald Trump's presidency formally ending at noon tomorrow, he's expected to issue a raft of pardons before he leaves office. There's much speculation as to who will get those pardons, but can a president issue a preemptive pardon before charges are brought? Former U.S. Attorney Chuck Rosenberg explains that there is precedent.
Washington issued a preemptive pardon to those who partook in the Whiskey Rebellion. President Ford issued a preemptive pardon to Richard Nixon. President Carter issued preemptive pardons to individuals who evaded the draft. And so while it hasn't been tested, we do have precedent.
Now, with security beefed up before Joe Biden's inauguration, will some Trump supporters be emboldened by the events of January 6th? Counterterrorism security advisor Errol Southers doesn't think so.
Let's all understand that there's a perceived or a real success of the January 6th attack. So these organizations are now emboldened by setting up and, if you will, deterring future events because of the presence of law enforcement and military. That's sending a message to people. And I'm reading as recent as today that many of these organizations have decided that they're going to stand down.
And in the absence of a fond farewell from Donald Trump himself so far, First Lady Melania gave her heartfelt goodbyes yesterday in a speech that was not without irony.
The promise of this nation belongs to all of us. Do not lose sight of your integrity and values. Use every opportunity to show consideration for another person and build good habits into your daily lives. In all circumstances, I ask every American to be an ambassador of the best, to focus on what unites us, to raise above what divides us, to always choose love over hatred, peace over violence, and others before yourself. No words can express the depth of my gratitude for the privilege of having served as your First Lady. To all the people of this country, you will be in my heart forever. Thank you. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
Now, to get into these stories making the headlines in the US, I'm joined by managing editor of WSHU Public Radio, Terry Sheridan. Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Pat.
All eyes are on the pardons and which of the deplorables will enter that basket of pardons to be issued today. We are expecting quite a few.
Yeah, we're expecting about 100 to come out today. Now, the Washington Post is reporting that Trump, as of now, is not going to try to preemptively pardon himself or his family, nor is he going to pardon former advisor Steve Bannon or Rudy Giuliani. But the list goes all the way from Little Kim, the rapper, to the former leader of the New York State Assembly, who was convicted several years ago on corruption charges.
The reasons for pardons, do they have to be given, or is it just a name on a document and that's it?
Pretty much it's a name on the document. A pardon is one of the few powers that the president has unilaterally to do and use as he pleases. There's really no strings attached. There's been several presidents who have pardoned controversial figures. Bill Clinton pardoned Mark Rich, a donor to him, in the last days of his presidency. The president has a lot of leeway in who and how he pardons.
Now, the question of the travel restrictions that are being eased, and we know that, for example, Joe Biden has his own easing of travel restrictions from Muslim countries, which he's going to reverse the Trump decision on that by executive order. But Donald Trump is reversing some of his own travel decisions, and these are to do with COVID.
Absolutely. And this came as a surprise yesterday. He issued an executive order that these were going to be released or eased as of January 26th, a full 6 days after he leaves office. But it was on that day that he says that it's no longer necessary because that's the day that passengers coming in from aboard will have to present proof of a negative coronavirus test before boarding a flight. As soon as that was announced, the incoming president's press secretary, Jen Psaki, said no. One of the first things that Joe Biden will do is to reverse that order and leave it in place.
And why would that be if, as the outgoing president says, look, you've got to be tested before you get here, so there's no risk?
Well, part of it is because it's sort of a quid pro quo that many of the countries that would be allowed back in are still banning American citizens from coming in. And part of it's because, as you well know, it is still out of control. So it's sort of early, the thinking is, to release this before everybody gets a better handle on what's going on with the spread of the disease.
Now, have they figured out what happened to the missing vaccines? There was the hope that they could release all of the second shot vaccines that were lined up for people who'd already received dose number one, release them, spread the gap from 4 weeks maybe to 12 weeks, get more people with the first vaccinations in their arms. And then there was an announcement that, it doesn't exist, the supply. What's clarity now on that supply or not?
It's still very muddled. Like, for instance, yesterday, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said he was going to go directly to the manufacturers and say, listen, can the state of New York buy from you without going through the federal government? The thought is that the administration was just talking out of turn, that they were trying to bluff something. Oh, yeah, we'll release it. But no, it's still very unclear what happened to those. And the governors and the local officials are absolutely livid because that has now thrown all of the vaccination plans into chaos. Here in New York, it is very difficult to make an appointment to get a vaccine. If you are lucky enough to be able to get one, you're still waiting, till the end of February or the beginning of March.
Now, the tension in Washington, D.C. around the Capitol building, of course, it's a massive city, but where our concentration is on, if you like, the Capitol area where the centers of government are located. And we see massive numbers of National Guard troops, local police, Capitol police, all getting ready for they expect some difficulties tomorrow. What's the latest on that?
Well, again, 25,000 National Guard troops from up and down the East Coast are in Washington, D.C. in order to protect the ceremonies. Yes, downtown Washington or the area around the mall, the Civic Center, whatever you want to call it, has been sealed off. There are pictures you'll see of the 12-foot fences, the barricades all around, and the checkpoints to go in. The biggest worry right now among officials is that they are vetting those 25,000 National Guard troops to make sure that there's nobody that's inside that shouldn't be inside that might pull an inside job. So that's going through. Last thing I saw this morning was that they believe that they are military officials believe that everything is OK, that there are no saboteurs inside. But yes, this is not going to be a traditional inauguration in so many ways because of COVID and then just the crowd going down. No parade, virtual balls.
They're
worried. They were worried. Yeah.
Trump effectively has wrecked Biden's inauguration anyway. There will be no competitive numbers for crowds and all the rest of it. By the way, back to the pardons. The New York Times reported on intensive lobbying for pardons as the Trump era draws to a close. And among some of the details, an unnamed associate of Giuliani reportedly told an ex-CIA officer that a pardon was going to cost $2 million. And then in other pardon news, the president has been warned by his flip-flopping pal, Senator Lindsey Graham, not to give pardons to the people on Capitol Hill. He says, I don't care if you went there to spread flowers on the floor. You breached the security of the Capitol. You interrupted a joint session of Congress. You tried to intimidate us all. You should be prosecuted to the fullest extent. So no pardons.
Yeah, but on the other hand, what the president's advisors, what we're seeing reporting in both the Times and in the Washington Post, is that if he pardons the people who are on Capitol Hill because they're saying they were sent to they were sent by the president, he's actually opening himself up to legal troubles after he leaves. So I wouldn't I think, as you put it properly, the flip-flopping Lindsey Graham is also, playing a little bit of a propaganda game here.
All right. Well, we shall watch events unfold tomorrow at the Capitol, and no doubt we'll be reporting on the events, for good or ill, on a Thursday. Terry Sheridan of WSHU Public Radio, thank you very much for joining us.